Blog Talk Radio.
On a man-made lake, there's a sheet of thin ice. With unskilled skaters, cut figure eight twice. At 16, uncut, direct from the cult. Head on assault, the result, death by the bolt. In the vault, it spoke about the average lost permission that was seen by a king in a prophetic vision. Like a plane crash from a bomb blast. Special broadcast, slot time with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet, and now the riot performed. While satanic man, now hanging his dorm. I swing on you fake radio personalities, whoosh your ratings. With hypes behind casualties of fire shots. With low pressure water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashioned the first tool from the elements the earth used. And built it to a complex network of communications. You're up against a hopeless situation. I screen every vehicle through enemy observation. Swarming unpredictably. We spread terror. Increase the fog significantly. Change the era. Check my wind pattern. It's heading west. Success is freedom, but failure can mean death. Human sweat and aim shovels. Dig up debris and rubble. Permanent damage caused by the double. You, now who, cowardly urge you to merge through. And think the workers that serve you, the Sonic Marvel, who just dropped the next novel. Worldwide, rapidly, more than Marvel. It's a countless amount of MCs I saved. And them same niggas wanna swindle those gifts I gave.
Moments most sacred. Both species, they lay naked in the tombs of the oasis. Think back on niggas I ate with, spend the day with. Guns we play with, niggas I relate with. We broke bread. I heard through a vine, niggas work for the fed. Sent out secretly to take my head. I laid back and meditate to the words they said. Skipped town 4 months in groups of dread. Had a friend tell my family I was dead. Returned at the last fall of the autumn leaves. Operate the plan accordingly, in case the feds are recording me. Sign all documents, using forgery, cause just a mere thought of me. I'm like Solomon, spoke bluntly, told the world I'm black and comely. Howl from the grave, hunt me, the smell of death upon me. I dwell in the hills like Gandhi, been in the presence of mad peasants. An old king, who sold everything, on the quest for God's divine. Slept in caves to get a clear mind, who prayed 3 times, when the moon lit, and when the sun rise. I met dwellers in the desert, talk to shepherds, been in the mouth of many leopards. Felt the death kiss of Satan's mistress. Walked through vacant districts, performed religious. Studied pagan scriptures through philosophers and physicians. On a cure mission, who hardened their hearts toward the weak, sick, and afflicted. Candles lit, gambled with a bitch who made me love her when I touch her. Saw paws, high claws, bees with sweet honey in their mouth. Have bitter stingers at their tail. Walked through the chambers of death, take a hold on to hell. Embracing her was like embracing the third well.
Hello there. I'm good. How are you, Andre?
I'm doing wonderful. Mm-hmm. Tonight we're going to have a
different format tonight. We don't have any special guests on here tonight besides ourselves. You know, we're special guests all the time. But we're not going to have any extra special guests. Tonight we're just going to talk about the industry somewhat. You know, movies, you know, like the Batman versus Superman that just recently came out. We're going to talk about the black nerdism. That's what I call it. I have to throw an ism on there because, you know, ism seems to be the big thing out there with just about everything. Afrofuturism, so I'm going to go with black nerdism. And the, I think the misinterpretation of what a black nerd is or what a black nerd should be or how a black nerd is far off from what he really should be into. But I shouldn't say it like that because I can't tell anybody what they should be into. But I just want to speak on that a little bit. You know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Oh, about the whole black nerdism thing?
Yes.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think that there is, like, levels of nerdism for anybody. And, you know, I may nerd out on one topic. Let's say, for instance, for me, it's science fiction, you know. And I may be really into that for various reasons. But, you know, if my knowledge of, you know, what's out there concerning that particular topic may be less than somebody else who may be a little bit deeper than mine, that doesn't necessarily negate my nerdism. It just means that my degree or my level of how deep I'm in it is just different from yours. So I can't necessarily point a finger at anybody who may not be at my level of nerd or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? You know, because like I said, everybody's different. Everybody's different on that.
I guess my thing about the black nerdism, I'll use the comic book industry as a prime example. You know, I've been reading comics practically all my life, maybe since I started reading, period. I've been reading all kind of comic books. And I was into certain characters, you know, which I'm going to nerd out, obviously, when Doctor Strange come out, because that was one of my favorites. Not too many kids back in those days were into a Doctor Strange. It was more or less the mainstream Marvel characters, even though he was somewhat mainstream. But what I'm going to...
I'm going to nerd out on a different reason for Doctor Strange. Cumberbatch.
Okay.
I love him. I loved him in Sherlock. I loved him as an actor, period. I thought that he was a perfect pick for being Doctor Strange, especially after reading some of the other comics for Marvel and also watching the animated on the backstory of Doctor Strange. I thought he was perfect. But I just had to get that out.
I thought he was a perfect pick for Doctor Strange as well. I'm just curious to know why did they decide to call it make him this magician more or less than being a, sorcerer supreme. I want to know, are they watering him down somewhat for, you know, for people to watch and, you know, and gravitate to the character himself? You know.
I'm wondering if they are going to kind of show his journey from being a physician to a magician to Sorcerer Supreme. Because
well,
I know that he was...
All I have to say is it has to be better than the animated version. The animated version was excellent. But they have to do a good job on the live action. It has to be at least good as that. At least.
Well, Marvel doesn't, well, depending on what inception you have, some Marvel films don't disappoint.
No, they don't. they don't for the most part, but that's what I was getting ready to get into. You know, I was speaking on the black nerdism and the issue at hand, you know, for me or whatever, as far as black nerds are concerned, you know, we had a guest on here not too long ago, Mr. Larry Strowman. He kind of spoke on this and, you know, how the black nerds or whatever, or guys that are really into comics or, say, animation, how they come out to the shows, like, say, in particular these main shows like C2E2, New York Comic Con, or even San Diego Comic Con. They come out to these events, and they'll walk right by your table as if you're not even there. Like, say, you're the only black creator. You put in a lot of work, you know, as far as your title is concerned. And I noticed myself from previous experience, you know, everyone goes to whatever table they want to because of what they may like. You know, that goes without saying. But my thinking is, if you see some brothers that look like you in these shows, you know, you should at least go by to see exactly what they have and what they have to offer, because the artwork, you know, it's off the chain or whatever. And the thing is, a lot of them will not come to your booth unless they see their Caucasian counterpart nerd at your booth. I noticed that in my own experience. You know, if I have like five Caucasians over there that are nerds checking out dreadlocks or whatever I may have because of their curiosity, I noticed then that's when a lot of some of these brothers come over to the table to see what's going on. That makes no sense to me. And me, myself, you know, that's one of the reasons why I created Urban Style Comics, Dreadlocks, Black Watch, and Jihad AD, is to cater towards them for the most part. Because I grew up liking these same images, the same comics that a lot of these guys grew up on. But at the same time, I decided to create for self, you know, and those around me that look like me. So maybe I could get some of that pub that, say, some of these white independents or even Marvel, DC, or Image were getting back in the day. You know, it's, you know, the black nerd seems to be caught up strictly into whatever Marvel and DC are putting out. I'll just use them to, or whatever, as the catalyst of it all, because it's like they're like in complete control, in the sense of, if you go in a comic book store, 98% of the catalog in the comic book store consists of Marvel or DC brand. You know, and the thing is, and I think that when the black nerd who can get these comic books at the specialty shops come out to the to these shows, they come out and they'll look and like, they look at you like, what is this guy doing here? You know what I mean? That's the look you get. Well, he's out of place.
That's
one of the reasons why, you know, that's one of the reasons why me as an artist, writer, creator, self-published person, I decided to establish my event, the Motor City Black Age of Comics event. I established that based on the fact that now I can bring to the community, you know, characters that look like us, and hopefully our people will come out and actually support that. And it's it's kind of hard to get the nerds out to the Motor City Black Age of Comics as well. You know, you can, you know, I'm sure, you know, you act Bach is probably hard to get them there. You get some out, Onyx Con, I'm sure they get some out, but we're not getting them out the way we'd like to. No.
Right.
You know, last year, you know, at the last year Motor City Black Age Comics, you know, it was just a full house of people that were there. It was just crazy.
It was kind of crazy. It was kind of crazy last year. So, I was like, oh, that's what I like.
So this year coming up, I want a crazy crowd like that again. I want people just
me too.
Like, you know, and it's going to be like
too,
that.
Yeah.
So the thing of the matter, you know, I, you know, for some reason, I know how to put a pull a crowd within a crowd. makes it all worthwhile for the black creators. So, you know, and
now
hopefully
I,
we get. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is, what I will say is that as far as, like, you know, like some of these more established, like Marvel and DC universes go, as far as how they have influence, I want to say black nerd culture or blurred culture, can I say, is that, you know, oftentimes, like, the films and the television shows and the cartoons and even the comics throughout the age has sparked curiosity of black people, you know. And then when you start introducing characters that look like us, like T'Challa, you know, or Storm, you know, or even, you know, Arvel's person, Misty Knight, you know, even though I would love to see her in a movie, but, you know, that's probably further down the line. But anywho.
Well, I'm sure she's going to be part of the Luke Cage series when they come out.
Yeah, she is. She is. She's supposed to be. So I'm really excited about that. But, you know, those type of, you know, titles have really, I would definitely say, influence or spark the curiosity of, like, you know, a black nerd. And also kind of, you know, did a twofold thing. It kind of said, oh, wow, look, this is so cool. You know, look at all these superheroes and their powers and, you know, how they affect change when they get into different situations. And then we get, oh, look, there's like actually characters like me. And then you get, why aren't there more characters that look like me?
Right.
You know, and it was just, it is just as of recent, even though, like, you know, we know that Black Panther's been around since, what, the 70s? Misty Knight, same 60s. Difference.
Mm.
Yes, I mean, even, but, and even, like, black characters actually showing up in comics, you know, happened for a very long time. I would say, through my research, I believe it was between the 20s and the 30s that you actually start seeing black characters enter into comics, you know, either they were a supporting character or if they did, like, actually have, like, their own title, didn't last that long because of the time that they were in. But,
right.
You know, regardless, black characters have been around for a long time. And
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
But, go ahead. But, you know, but still, the whole thing is that it was still necessary to establish these big ones in order for us to even spark our curiosity to say, you know what, I can do this too, like you did. You said, you know what, you've been into comics for a long time, you read them, you liked the artwork, you liked the stories, it sparked your imagination, and to the point where you saw a need, and you want to fill that need as far as, you know, bringing strong African-American characters to light so that others may see that as well, because that there's a market for that.
Cynthia, hold that note right quick. It looked like we got some more to add to the round table here. It looks like we have Bryce and we have Kelly on the line. Kelly,
Yay.
Are you there? Hello?
Hello, yeah.
Bryce, Kelly?
Yep. Yo.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Doing good.
Good. All right. Wanted to add to the conversation
hey.
Here.
Oh, what's up, Kelly?
Now, Bryce, this is you and my first time actually speaking with one another, and I think this may be a good topic for you to chime in on as far as...
Oh, yeah, man, and I'm a major fan of your art. I just want to start off with that. But, yeah, this is a really big topic for me. It really hits home. Because just look at all of the famous characters that we even have. Look at all of the black characters. We're just going to start there. Look at all the black characters we have. And just, like, some of the stereotypes that exist in our characters, you know?
Mm.
Like, look at Blade. Blade's mother was a prostitute. Luke Cage had his superpowers in jail. Like,
right.
Come on. Whereas our Caucasian counterparts, they can be anything from a nerdy high school student to a savior from another planet, a freaking god.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look at all of our characters. And how many black female characters do we have? I can literally only name one,
how
which is Storm.
It?
And
well, you know, if you're looking at African-American, I don't even know if any except for Misty Knight, maybe a few others. Vixen.
Exactly.
Well, no, Vixen is from somewhere. Where's Vixen from? D.C.?
Yeah.
I don't really know,
she's
but it's very
yeah.
few.
Yeah, she's a Justice Leaguer.
But even, okay. And look at that, we don't even know which companies he's from. But I bet you you can name which company Wolverine is from. I bet you can name which company freaking Superman is from.
Right.
Exactly.
Then we can name all of them. And I'm going to speak on the Black Panther, for instance, you know, which is really the Black Nerds thing now is really on the bandwagon of the Black Panther, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that. Because we all, like I said, we've all created images for people to gravitate to and to like, as far as our characters are concerned. But when you read up on some of the history as it relates to Wakanda, I don't know where Wakanda is exactly in Africa. Does anybody on this line know that?
It's a made-up place. It actually does not exist. They made it up specifically for Black Panther in the 60s.
Now, this is what I'm getting at. I'm glad you said that, Bryce. What I'm getting ready to get at is they made up a country for Black Panther, right? But they have him.
But there's so many.
So many countries that it could actually said he was from here or there as far as in Africa. But then they also have him, the leading god or goddess or whatever of Wakanda is a goddess out of Kemet or Egypt called Bast, B-A-S-T, you know, which is the goddess of, fertility or, you know, basically relationship goddess, which is not really a real powerful entity for, say, this character to be not worshiping, but this is the character that gives him the smarts, the powers, and things of that nature to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you get into the Egyptian god, the pantheon of gods, then you'll see what Bastaf actually means and her purpose. And it doesn't even make sense to match the Black Panther with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people, you know, they really don't know that or whatever. I guess if some of them look into it, they would figure it out, but they just don't care. It's just we have this black character here. And they've shown Black Panther quite a bit on the Civil War trailer, but I don't think it's going to get that much of any play on Civil War.
Honestly, he's probably going to get 15 to 20 minutes of fame, and I think it's funny because, like, when they thought that they weren't going to get Spider-Man, then he was just like the big rave. He was like the go-to secondary plan. They were going to make Black Panther the main person of the movie. But as soon as they got Spider-Man, he got, you know, shoved back to the back end, to the back burner. And it's just like, look at this. Our characters are literally secondary characters. Like, if you look at most of the main, famous, the biggest comic book movies, our character is always the supporting cast. Look at Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
You have War Machine.
Right.
Even though War Machine was a badass in the comics, like, I hate it, and this is bad because I love Joss Whedon. Let me say this right now. Joss Whedon is one of my favorite writers and directors of all freaking time. He's really what inspired me to write a lot. But I hated what he did with War Machine in Age of Ultron. He's the secondary character. He's not a beast.
Was he
in the movie? He was barely in the movie. He was in the movie for literally 10 minutes. 5 minutes at the beginning of the movie, 5 minutes at the end of the movie, and his character was pointless. His character, he told the rest of the character, he told Thor and Iron Man, he was telling a story, and this is his home for me. All right, so he was telling a story of something that was supposed to be awesome, like a journey he went on to and he beat up some guys or whatever. What actually happened is he took a tank from some guys and brought it to the president's house and he showed them and he's like, this is what you're looking for because, like, a bunch of bad guys that, like, took it, you know, stuff that bad guys do.
Right.
And so he's telling the rest of the superheroes, he's telling them, and they're just like, oh, that's the whole story? You know, that's it? Then, oh, it's a great story. He's literally just like this character for them to make fun of. While the superheroes, the white superheroes are saving the world. This guy's doing something just to help. You know what I'm saying? And that takes me
He was actually ambulance relief towards the end of the movie just so that he could help evacuate people. Yeah, that's what he was.
Well, you know they have to save the world. They've saved the world since 1492. They started saving the world. The year of 1492.
Columbus.
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 Yeah. Before that, the world didn't need any saving. So
wow.
Once, you know, well, once they get into creating these superheroes or superheroes, it's basically the same method, the same thing all over again. And, you know, I have to throw a little history out there because a lot of this applies to that. And Stan Lee, you know, he's practically a genius with the way he's created model behind all his characters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody that came under him that created characters, you know, outside of Stan Lee, that created characters for Marvel, basically was under his tutelage and really, you know, I have to give it to them as well. They approached this situation real good. It's another form of slavery, but through comics.
Oh my God, that's like the perfect description.
And I say that because you got to think of how us as black nerds or whatever, I'm not going to say the ultimate nerd because the ultimate nerd knows better, but when you look at us as black nerds, they're like in a trance. When they like when you hit these comic book conventions, all they know are the Marvel DC characters. And it's cool to go check out the movies and read their comic books because that's what you like or whatever. But my whole point is it is more out there that we as black artists and creators have to present to everyone, including white people as well. We have more than enough.
Well, one of the things that's why I was making my point earlier is like, you know, it was being introduced to Marvel and DC that made me want to search out for more comics that were independent. You know, that made me want to actually see what else is out there, and I noticed that even like with some with other, you know, black nerds or blurs that are, you know, into comics, like, you know, they'll get into like a character from Marvel or DC, like Batman or what have you, and then, you know, that may spark their interest to actually go out and see what else is there. But the problem is also too, I mean, quiet as it's kept, it ain't quiet. You know, it's Caucasian stuff that's being pushed more than us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
They have the money machine is behind them, and the corporate machine has been behind them for a long time. So I hear people like they get on some of these black nerd sites that get on there and say, well, why don't you all get out there and create quality products and things like that? But what they fail to realize, you know, they'll say that is if that's all we need to do to get our stuff out there. And the problem is not that, because you have dynamic artists like Sindo, Stephen Harris, Eric Battle, you know, there's so many of them out here.
Anthony Piper.
Got a crazy talent pool out there. And the thing is, that's not the issue. The issue is we don't have a black corporation behind us in the sense of dollar-wise. Mm. Marvel has been around since, you know, the 50s, before they actually became Marvel Comics. So these companies, DC, been around even longer than that. They've been around for a long time and established that corporation, and they're able to keep it going. And you figure DC, they're owned by Warner Brothers. Marvel was owned by Coca-Cola at one time, and now they're owned by Disney. So, you know, Disney is a big-time demonic corporation that they just have.
Yeah. Right. I was about to say, you know, to be honest with you, I really feel Disney is Illuminati.
Illuminati, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're good at what they do.
Right. And I'm not even going to lie, even though I said the Illuminati, I will be at Disney World next month, so.
The thing of the matter, these are the control mechanisms that we have no control over. It's not just our talent that we can present. You know, we have issues with jealousy in our own industry. We have that crabs in the bucket mentality. You know, I've ran into that several times. You know, and other brothers I know have ran into this crabs in the bucket. But I don't know if it's we're helping pull one another up and we keep falling down, or if it's the other way around where, you know, when we get up there, they pulling us down that way. I don't know. But, you know, I'm trying to figure that out as far as this crabs in the bucket mentality.
Well, I can give my theory on that whole scenario. I think it's another. I think it's a few dynamics we're dealing with, especially when you mention Andre about, you know, jealousy. We have been separated since slavery. You know, it's kind of like what happened. You remember what happened in Rwanda, the Hutu versus the Tutsi?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't something that the native people came up with. It was the colonials that came up with that separated them. That said, oh, well, the Tutsis are taller. They look more elegant, you know. They happen
they
to
lighter.
Be a little bit lighter when it comes to skill, right. They were a little lighter in skin. But, you know, but sometimes, like, you will put one against another one and you really couldn't tell the difference. They probably could have been family. And in some cases, they were. You know, but then when you got this separation of, oh, you look like this, oh, your station's like this, oh, I'm looking at you like this, you know, it causes us to be prejudiced against one another and makes us separate from one another that we can't push each other, you know. And
right.
Also, too, we do have a lack of dollars behind, you know, what we do. I mean, just think about it. No artist, I don't care how bad they are, I'm even speaking even like in other industries too, like let's say, for instance, arts and entertainment, like actors, musicians, whatever, dancers, whatever. You know, even, you know, what, I don't care what color they are, they're not going to get pushed out or have their talent seen or their music heard or anything like that without like some type of money machine that is behind them, right, that's going to actually illuminate who this person is, you know,
right.
Because, I mean, I know for Quay Quay that's around the corner that can probably dance circles around Beyonce and sing better too.
And that's right, right.
You know?
Right.
But if Beyonce got a big money machine behind her that's going to continuously push her and push her and push her and push her until you, like, that's all you see, that's what you're going to get. You know,
right,
and it's
right.
The same thing. It's the same thing with, you know, with artists, you know, and creators in the comic book industry. You know, the benchmark that has been set by American standards is Marvel and DC, unfortunately. Fortunately, but
right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
You know, so,
that is
you
true.
Know, but.
That's
and,
true.
And, you
know,
they had that comics code authority that had been around forever up until,
right.
Like, early 90s, I think it was, and. That right there had really put the standard out there because you wasn't drawing a comic unless it emulated Marvel and DC.
Right.
You know, as far as the actual look and everything. And they got away with that. I don't know what happened where the Comics Code Authority disappeared, but needless to say, I know once Image came on board, you know, we know what thought of the artists from Marvel, when they formed Image, you know, they just took comics to a whole nother level. But as far as us as, you know, black independents, we still weren't getting the recognition that we should have been getting. Because even, you know, with Larry Stroman and Todd, when they did Tribe under the Image banner, you know, they weren't, like he said, they weren't getting the respect that they deserved. You know, people were looking for other people. From what he was saying, you know, they were looking for Todd Johnson and Larry Stroman, and were right in their face asking for Todd Johnson and Larry Stroman.
that's them right there.
You're looking right at me. I'm Larry Stroman. This is who you're looking for. But needless to say, and their names were big in the industry, you know, unlike, you know, some other people, you know, names weren't even out there like that. So if they were getting played like that, you know, everybody else was getting played like that as far as black comic book creators. But the black nerd just have to snap out of that trance that he's in and actually show a little more support towards what the rest of us are doing as well. Because after all, we're nerds ourselves. You know, that's why we created what we created. For them.
And damn proud of it.
They don't seem to get that. They seem to have it in their head that, you know, I'm not going to go not buy any of that black stuff. They say that more than some of these Caucasians do.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that's their
that's mental separation slavery. Jealousy. Right, right. That Willie Lynch syndrome.
Yeah, right. Willie Lynch is
mm-hmm.
a prime example.
Yeah. That's what it is. And it is very powerful, and it's been around for a very long time, and it's very difficult to overcome. You know, it's kind of sad that because of that mentality that we can't just celebrate one another for the gifts that they possess and how they want to share it with the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
you're right about that.
But I will definitely say, as far as, like, you know, independent creators is concerned, you know, the beauty of now, of course, is the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of helps level the playing field. You know,
yeah,
as far as,
when,
like,
looking at social media. One thing about,
mm-hmm.
like, urban-style comics, since you bring that up, Cynthia, you
right.
know, I had, me and my partner, Chris Irvin, we had created a website, me, Chris Irvin, and Kevin Hallman. When we first started urban-style comics, it was, like, maybe 8 or 9 of us, or whatever the case may be, but needless to say, some people fell off or whatever due to creative differences or whatever the case may have been, or due to work schedules and things of that nature. When we
mm-hmm.
started back in the 90s, that's when the internet kind of first came online or whatever,
right.
when the internet started being
right.
known. And the thing is,
mm-hmm.
we had created a little bogus website. And by doing so, we were driving traffic to Urban Style Comics back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you figure every other year we were creating a bigger website. You know, we had our major characters, whatever, Dreadlocks, Blackwatch, Jihad AD, Moja, Sashiko. We had Psychopath Bucktooth Earl. We had all kind of titles, whatever, that we were working with. And
mm-hmm.
by creating that website, it drove a lot of traffic to what they call Black Comics. When you looked up Black Comics, that Urban Style Comics website would always pop up.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that way it drove a lot of traffic to Urban Style Comics, whereas now it's all about social media, which is cool
mm-hmm.
too, because social media, now I can drive the social media crowd to the Urban Style Comics website. And still got the Urban Style Comics website going or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because right now, you know, it's one of those websites, if you want to actually buy that name or whatever, it'll cost you a whole
mm-hmm.
lot of money. And it's had
right.
well over a million views a long time
mm-hmm.
ago. I passed
mm-hmm.
a million views a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the
mm-hmm.
point of the matter, I'll bring that up because that's a good thing. That's why the internet has somewhat leveled the playing field, and social media
mm-hmm.
has helped it even more.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing now
right.
with social media is you have a lot of people that are haters on social media. They may
yeah.
be, you know, they may try to destroy your character or whatever. And,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, they can do that. They can destroy a character, and someone that don't know you will take that as true because they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going by whatever
mm-hmm.
this person may say. So that can kind of dampen your clout that you've already put into the game. But people that know you and people that have followed your company all this time, then it doesn't faze them whatsoever. You know, they
right.
know it's what.
Mm-hmm.
I know that from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
why I speak on that, because I know that from personal experience. But
right.
the thing of the matter, you know, it is what it is. We keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And that social media, the internet, hey man, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend that anybody that's getting into the industry, I recommend that they get a website to go right alongside with social media. That helps
right.
a whole lot. And not just
mm-hmm.
depend on social media, because, you know, you got everybody that can post up hot stories, hot art, sweet art on social
mm-hmm.
media, and people like push like and stuff like that. But will they truly
mm-hmm.
support
right.
it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Are they going to support it? You don't
right.
know if they're going to support it unless they go to your website, hit that link, and, you know,
sure.
they order that way. Or even go on the download site, because I just put some of my books on Peep Game Comics, which, you know, I was fortunate to put my books on there recently. And I have them on another digital download, I think Africom.com. And on that site alone, I don't have my whole catalog on Peep Game Comics just yet, but on Africom Comics site, people are actually downloading, you know, they're buying the downloads right now.
Awesome.
You know, and, that's amazing. But that's the thing of, as far as utilizing all the avenues and assets of the Internet, and that's why the playing field, you know, it has been leveled, or at least the tree is leaning quite far down. It's pretty close to us now.
Right. I agree.
You
I agree.
Know what I mean? It's not all the way down, but it's there.
Yeah.
We just need everybody to support that. But I just don't understand, you know, the black nerd in there. They argue over movies like, you know, Batman versus Superman, things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
And I bring that up.
Do we want to talk about that movie yet, by the way?
Yeah, well, that's,
oh,
I bring that up because I want to get into Batman versus Superman. You know what I mean? I want to get into that. That's why I brought it up, because I'm like,
all right, let's do it.
What is it to argue about as it relates to Batman versus Superman? You know, I'm sure you all have seen
about,
the
but...
different arguments. Everybody's seen Batman versus Superman online? Everyone's seen it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen it. All right, here's my whole take on it. Because, like, a lot of people that aren't, like, major – all right, so it's split down the middle for, like, American fans. The people that are, like, that have been reading the comics, you know what I'm saying, they love the movie, but people that haven't read the comics, they don't really like the movie. And the reason is because – and a lot of people say you're comparing it to Marvel – but one thing that Marvel does right is that they make sure if you've never read the comics, they will explain the story so that you understand it. DC did
right.
not do that.
That's
they
true. DC
presented the movie, which by the way, the movie was I'll say the movie was great, but that's only if you've read the comics. If you have not read the comics, you don't know what none of that stuff means. Like, they had him in these dream sequences with the Omega symbol for Darkseid. If you haven't read the comics, like right now, if you're listening right now, you don't even know who Darkseid is. You have no idea what
right,
he's talking
right,
about.
Right.
I'm just feeling gibberish. Darkseid, what
the heck
is that?
No, I've never been a DC fan myself as far as their stories are concerned. I've read them here and there, but I'm familiar with a lot of the characters and certain stories. Mm-hmm. I think that, for me, myself personally, I thought it was a good movie, but I felt certain aspects of the movie was too rushed.
Yeah.
And by it being 2.5 hours, they had time to develop so many different aspects of the story.
Yeah.
No, it was 2 hours and 45 minutes, exactly, to be honest.
Yes.
2 hours and 45
long
minutes.
Long as hell.
They had more than enough time, you know, to develop these characters. You know, they didn't go into Superman too much. Doomsday, they just basically brought him out of nowhere. You know,
all right,
Batman,
I hated Doomsday's story.
The Doomsday story was absolutely ridiculous. The way that they
right,
had
exactly.
brought him. If you read the comics, or even if you watch any of the animated series cartoons, okay.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me get on Lex. Let me get on Lex first, and then I'm about to get on Doomsday, and then I'm about to get on something else, with Superman, and then I'm about to, and then I'm going, and I'm going to leave it alone. All right. Number one, Lex Luthor. Okay. Now, the way that Lex has been portrayed in the DC universe, the majority of the part that most people are familiar with is a cool, calculated psychopath.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, he was.
but, you know, Eisenberg, when he got on there, he was way too, what's
spastic.
The word? yes, he was fast. Like he had legs.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that way. I mean, like I said, this is not legs. Like, you know, when he's like, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent, I love it when I put people together. I'm like, Lex would have never said it like that. Even if he said that I would have brought people together, the way that he's been established, he would have never said it like that or acted like that. I said, I prefer that they would have brought back Kevin Spacey, to be honest with you. I felt that he would have
made it much
better.
Lex.
Lex. Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
No,
okay,
you know
who
they
you know,
should have had? They should have had the dude from Breaking Bad. They should have. That would have been bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So sick.
You know, he already got it. He got a bald head already. So there you go.
Right.
All
right.
What did you
think
of it, Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What did you think of it?
Oh, the movie, I felt like the movie that they, the part that I didn't like was that, why did they keep Wonder Woman as a mystery? Like at the beginning, like I felt like they could have went to her backstory a little bit and could have told people about who she is, what she represents and stuff like that. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. They just like basically had her there just spying on Superman. And then all of a sudden
that,
she bumped into him.
If they did that, they would have to overshadow the white male characters.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Exactly.
Right. You're right. You're right. That's true.
They can't do
that's
that.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
like,
true.
Remember,
never do that.
Right. I should, yeah. Never, ever do that. But I will say in defense of that is that she is getting her own movie that's supposed to be coming out, I believe, next year.
Right.
They have the director and everything. So, you know, so I believe that. But I feel you on that too, Kelly. Like, I think that they probably could have got a little bit into her, you know, and still made it so that it could, you know, flow seamlessly into the movie, which was another problem with this movie. It didn't flow at all. It was just way
too choppy. Not at all. And you thinking, and my thinking is, when it comes to Wonder Woman, since they didn't really go into her story much, they actually could have did her the same way that they did Flash and Aquaman.
Aquaman.
You know, it was real brief with them. It was like a screenshot of them. If they wanted to do that,
it sure was.
They
could
have did that same thing with Wonder Woman, that matter.
Yeah, that's
but like
true.
Bryce said, you know, you don't want to take down that.
Honestly, the whole thing with Wonder Woman, it's female fan service, all right? Because for the longest period of time, they haven't been able to make an actual good female superhero movie. And, you know, Wonder Woman is the first one they're supposed to actually be able to make. Like, luckily, Supergirl, even though I don't personally like the show, that show has been fairly successful. But they haven't had any successful superhero female movies. That's why even though the other characters do have a spot in the movie, you know, like the Flash, Cyborg, and all of them, they have a little 5-second spot in the movie. She has a little bit more because they call themselves, you know, catering to this female audience for this new superhero movie that she's supposed to have out. But they're not really doing much, you know. The whole movie is about Batman versus Superman, obviously. You know, we all heard the title. But at the same time, you can fit some stuff in for her. They fit in the same freaking scene of Batman's parents dying that we've seen a million
times.
Right.
I want to shoot him now, okay? It was me. I did. I shot them.
So what do you all think about what do you all think about Batman snapping out of his trance of killing Superman when Superman was like Martha? Do you think that was corny?
In the world, Martha, why did you say Martha?
Wait, that was crazy.
I'm gonna tell you everything I got wrong with that freaking scene. Okay, for one, that scene was cliche as hell. For two, Lois Lane would not have hurt Superman because Batman and Superman with his freaking foot on the man's throat. The dude whispered Martha's name, that Martha was taken. But somehow, Lois Lane was able to run in, jump out
died. And no one
knew. Right. She didn't know. She has some kind of hair or something.
The thing I was, does she have some hair too? Did some of Superman's powers rub off on her while they were having sex? I don't understand.
Oh
my gosh. And let me bring up this point. Okay. Why was Superman able to go in 2.5 milliseconds everywhere in the world to save Lois Lane? Dude was in Africa. Dude was all over the greater global, the global face to save this woman. But he didn't know where his mama was.
I know.
Exactly.
That doesn't make no sense.
You didn't know where his mama was.
I know.
You don't this think that? I mean, like, she raised him. How can you not hear your mama's voice?
As far away as possible.
Right.
That should have been the main voice she heard before Lois.
How?
Exactly.
Your mom.
Right, my mom. I could be across the room and will hear my.
On the real, I could hear my mom down.
Clear as bell.
I know her.
Right.
I know that voice from anybody from the whoopings I used to get. You can know your mom. Come on now.
Ain't going to talk about that.
You know, nine times
out of
ten, Superman didn't feel any of those. I take it that we all enjoyed the movie for several reasons. We all found some quirks and things that were wrong with the movie, but at the same time, we still somewhat enjoyed the movie.
I think
accept it for what it is.
You know, compared to previous DC movies, you know, I don't, you know, it was okay. But I like the Superman that they did. The Man of Steel.
Man of Steel.
Did like that.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, that movie had problems too, and I know that I've heard plenty of critics that you know would completely slam that movie, but I liked it, and I may be a little biased on why I like it.
We just need more black Superman characters out there.
Yes.
That's gonna take me to something else. That's gonna take me somewhere else. You know, I'm looking at, like, for instance, we're all waiting on them to bring black superheroes to the forefront and have their own movies or Netflix or whatever. What do you all think about them painting Caucasian characters black, like Nick Fury, you know, how he was originally white and made him black?
Human Torch from Fantastic Four. I think it's unnecessary.
I think they should create characters from scratch.
They should make them all from scratch.
There's not a lot of people creative enough. Like that's the reason why they've been making the same story, Bryce, this is the thing right here.
This is the thing. Now, I can agree with you to some degree on that one, because you have a lot of black independents out here that are willing to get down on Marvel's team or DC's team or whatever to bring their black characters into their mix. Long as they're able to have control over their characters. Those are characters that would be created from scratch, whereas what Marvel is doing, they're just changing the colors of these characters because they know that blacks, you know, they have a high readership as far as blacks are concerned. They know this. And they see it at these comic book conventions when they see these black
nerds. Right, and
we'll go out
to the movies, we'll cosplay, we'll go to the Comic Cons. I mean,
see all that.
Because we talked about it before, Andre, like, now blur culture is more mainstream. Before, you reading comics? What's wrong with you? Or in my case, why you got to go in at 7 o'clock on Saturdays? Well, the Next Generation is on, and I got to watch it. And they say, what is your problem? Are you a nerd? I'm like, yes, I am, but don't tell nobody. you know. But
right.
now it's like
now it's
right
cool
now
to be
we
a
wear
nerd,
this.
Now.
Right, exactly.
It's the end
you
thing.
You know, even though like. Right, exactly, exactly. So
when you think about when you think about that being cool to be, you know, a nerd now is because
mm-hmm.
you figure most of your hip hop artists. They're creative.
Mm-hmm.
Most nerds are creative. Most artists and creators or whatever, as far as in comics or even writers and novels and things of that nature, they're nerds and very
mm-hmm.
creative. The guy that did IBM, Facebook, all them nerds, you know, all of them are nerds. All the nerds have made everything so accepting in the sense of our creations and just a whole lot of things that we've been involved with that makes life a lot easier for the average person that's quote unquote not a nerd, because I think that everyone has some nerd in them.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Whether they admit it or not,
degree.
Some people may still be
right.
stuck in the past, like, oh, it's embarrassing, but a lot of people know
right.
better than that. But listen
exactly.
here, though. We have maybe every bit of 3 minutes and a half left on this conversation. And of course we're gonna have to do this. You got two. Of course we're gonna have to do this again. Now
yeah.
Cynthia.
Definitely.
I want you and Bryce to share with us, when is your project coming out?
Bryce and I, we're actually collaborative partners as well.
Mm-hmm.
We are working on a few titles, but the first one that's going to come out is Madame Amora,
Omora.
Knight of the Round Table. Omora.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that was my intro. Now, Tracy, take over.
Okay, I get you. All right, so right now I'm shooting for June right now.
Okay.
Pretty much that's my deadline as of right now, you know, because I have school and work and stuff, so I'm, you know, I gotta go through the process of making it, inking, coloring, and all that stuff. But it should be out soon, and we're gonna start going to many conventions and advertising, and you know, being on social media and affluently. So you're gonna see us pretty much everywhere at that point.
So it'll be ready right on time for the Motor City Black Age of Comics in November then.
Yes. Yes,
oh, definitely.
We will be very
yeah.
so
oh, we
ready
will be there.
For
will see us.
Yes. We will be there with bells on.
With bells
with Madame
on.
Memorial
okay.
Yes, yes. We will clearly have bells ringing
okay.
as we walk in the door with
ringing.
Our title Madame Memorial.
No, just to
share
with Cynthia,
what she said.
Share with the last year's crowd was something. We're about to have a big crowd this year, bigger.
Oh, yeah.
That's the whole game plan
yeah.
to make it bigger and better every year.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. That's what's up.
Because we're at one of the schools was the major school in Detroit. It's called Wayne State University.
Yes.
It's actually in the middle of the city, what we call it Midtown. And it's on the campus, and of course, you know, there'll be a lot of college students there because of the time of year. You're looking at, I got three ballrooms, but it's part of the biggest
oh, wow.
ballroom. But we're making it happen, so I'm looking forward to having you
wow.
guys there. And dreadlocks,
yeah.
of course, you know, I'm still working on dreadlocks. About to make that happen. I've finished my colorizations and the dialogue for these next two books. So look forward to having that out soon. And I'm going to have you two on the show when your book get ready to come out again so you can go more into detail on that. But in the meantime...
And you know, we got to broadcast live the revolutionary black nerd. Live
uh-huh.
on the Motor City right. Black Age Comics Con. That is
exactly.
Must.
So mm-hmm. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight and having this wonderful conversation.
Hey, thanks
and
for
I
having
I look
us.
Forward to our next interview person will be Turtell Only. That will be next week, April 27th, the father of the Black Age of Comics. He started it all. So, of
nice.
Course, I want to have him on here real soon. Next
awesome.
Month, next week, as a matter of fact. So I look forward to talking to you guys again later. All right, good night,
awesome.
Everyone.
Good
night.
Good night.
broadcast with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet and now the riot performed. While Satanic Man now hanging his dorm. I swing on you fake radio personalities with Wuxia ratings. With hypes behind casualties of fire shots. With low pressure water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashioned the first tool from the elements the earth used and built it to a complex network of communication. You're up against a hopeless situation. I screen every vehicle through